course, we are home of the fans. We want to get right back to the fan line as we appreciate your patience tonight. And we have Les in Moose Jaw next. Les, what are you thinking after a 24-10 loss to the Stampeders today?
We need a new defensive coordinator.
Not a new head coach, a new defensive coordinator, because they are the same person.
Well, he should have seen. We didn't blitz once in the first half, not once. We just sat back with a prevent zone defense, and you give Adams that much time, he's going to tear us apart, and that's exactly what he did. Mm-hmm. And when you're rushing four, they're going to poke a hole in the line so they're running back and just run nuts on us. And our offensive coordinator calls the same plays in the first, second, third, and fourth quarter. So if you watch videotape on the Riders, you can beat them easily every game.
Well, the Stampeders definitely did just that, Les, and took them to school. But we've already addressed the defensive coordinator thing. It's Corey Mace. He's the head coach. He calls the defense.
Likes to call the defense and doesn't plan to make a change. I think, and Belton and I have talked about this most of the game, that he does need, as you're suggesting, to get a little bit more unpredictable. So does our offense, obviously. Oh, but yeah. On defense, blitz a little bit. It doesn't. You don't have to change your main philosophy or your main style, but just once in a while. When they did it earlier in the season and did blitz, remember Jameer Thurman came in and saved the game for them, right? Yes. Up the middle, untouched. Do it on occasion. And you're right, if Vernon Adams Jr. has that much time, he's going to run, he's going to kill you. Do what Calgary did. It was a blitz, run blitz defense a lot of times just to seal the gaps, right?
Yep.
So keep that away. Not that Trevor Harris is going to run on you, but it stopped AJ Ouellette. So why not do the same thing against Vernon Adams and just make sure that he can't get loose, but get somebody to put some pressure on him?
Well, because that's the thing, right? If you hit the quarterback, quarterbacks don't like to get hit.
No, they don't like to get hit.
And if they get hit more than one time, something's going on in their head, and it slows the quarterback down because he's looking, number one, like, okay, where is this guy coming? Where is he coming? And snap the ball. He's got to get rid of it there.
Yes, he does. Yeah. I think once in a while that for Corey Mace to do that, maybe do it like a little bit transitionally. Mm-hmm. Let Joshua Bell call a couple games or a bit here and there, or maybe say, let's do this. They say that they communicate a bit, and that once in a while, Joshua Bell, the defensive backs coach, and what is he, defender of the pass game, I think. So he does make suggestions, and once in a while they're implemented. But once in a while, maybe he should just have a little bit more say in it and let Corey Mace concentrate on being the head coach. He's a great defensive coordinator. He's won great cups being the defensive coordinator. Yeah. That's why he has a head coaching job. But it is tough looking after both. So I think that if he got some more input and allowed his assistants to make some calls on occasion, still be in charge of the strategies and the overall philosophy, but it's not a bad idea to let him get some help with the play calling.
Well, let's hear from the head coach right now after the game and a loss to the Calgary Stampeders, as Corey Mace was first asked about the delay last night.
I think like everybody else, we was doing the same as everybody, just kind of sitting and waiting around. I was on a couple league calls, and you know, honestly, we really thought we'd have a chance to kick the ball off last night, and you know, certainly want to do that for our fans here, man. And that's the first thing. I just want to, you know, I know we're going to move on, but I want to show love to all the fans that stuck it out last night. That was unbelievable. So we appreciate you, but we kind of expect that here. But just awesome, solidify that. But unfortunately, it's just what it was. And, you know, for the players as well, I don't know if that would have been fair to kick off at, you know, 11 or midnight. But they were ready to do it. They were just sitting around and waiting. So, I thought we made the right decision ultimately, though.
Did it have an impact, do you feel, on the preparation for today? Or
no.
How did you feel?
No, we felt great. We were just happy that, you know, it wasn't going to be postponed to who knows when, right? We get the kickoff tomorrow, and you know, everybody got a good night's sleep. You know what I mean? The other team had to do the same thing we did. So, no, man, nothing changed there. Nothing changed there.
You guys started this game forcing two turnovers. Why weren't you able to capitalize on that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. We'll have to look at the tape, but you know what? Just, you know, from my own two looking out there, Claire, they have a really good defense. I mean, they've had a good defense all the way to this point, and they proved it again today. I thought for the most part, outside of the second half, I thought, you know, we were a little bit efficient with that, but man, they do a good job at what they do. So they made it tough on us, and you know, we defensively really we could have helped even more, to be honest with you, because we was getting whooped early too. So
it's uncharacteristic to see AJ Lett, you know, have three carries for -1 yard to start a game. What was the shortcomings of his game?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to put it all on AJ's shoulders. You know, I thought early, truthfully, this might have been the first game of the year where I thought, you know, the physicality and the trench battle, I thought honestly was not in our favor early in the game. And that was a big part of it too. So, you know, I don't want to just put it all on AJ's shoulders, but, you know, there was a lot of things going on out there early where we had to kind of regroup and address some things at half. I thought we came out with a little bit more fire, played with a little bit more confidence, more physicality in the second half, but, you know, ultimately it wasn't enough, yeah.
Corey, just your thoughts on the team's performance and effort out there today.
Yeah, belt to ass. We got whooped, and that's just what it is. I mean, that's, again, I know what everybody, that's a good football team that we played tonight, today, I should say. I thought VA was on point. You know, we always talk about capitalizing on opportunities, and there was certainly some, you know, defensively that we gave him some opportunities, and you got to find it, and he did that. So they were able to run the ball well. I thought the play calling from Calgary was pretty good as well. We didn't really look ourselves defensively, you know, outside of the turnovers. I get that, but that's ultimately not going to be, you know, the end-all be-all, just creating the turnover. You know, we got to be able to stop the flood, it felt like, at some points in the game, and we weren't able to do that.
Quick turnaround to the next game. What does this team have to bounce back after getting punched in the mouth in this one?
Yeah, well, that's what it is do we have a glass jar or not? So, you know, I think the guys that were here last year understood kind of very eerily similar situation. I think that we figured out a lot of things about that last year. So going into just having that continuity, I think this is another reason why that helps. And, you know, it's a quick turnaround going into a place that is not always easy to play either, you know, with a good quarterback. I mean, they're also a good team, despite, you know, what the record may show. They got the capabilities to go out and make some plays, obviously, beating the team they did last week. So just everybody's got to go back to it and figure out how we can be better. But I believe for sure that we got the right people in the building to do that.
I mean, despite the way things went today, still 4-1. Can you look at that? I realize it's soon after a game, but contextually, and say, well, it's not the situation you're in is still pretty enviable.
Yeah, I think, Rob, it's that's the reality, no doubt. But man, I'm, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, I promise you, we're always so week to week focused. So everybody's gonna not gonna like what, you know, how this is feeling right now. You know, so. It's still early in the year, no doubt. You know, I spoke about that, and unfortunately, we're not going to go undefeated this year. You know, but we got a lot of football ahead of us, and yeah, a lot of work.
Corey, Trevor usually talks first, and he took a couple of hits in the game. Is there any injury concerns surrounding him?
No, absolutely not. It's just the fact that I, instead of sitting down and having a beer before coming to talk to you guys, I just said, let's just get this going. So that's it. I'm sure Trevor will be here. Yeah, I'm sure Trevor will be here. Just honestly, you know, kind of just what I told you guys just there. You know, it's you know, there's been a lot of really good teams in this league, and nobody's been undefeated. So we just want to focus on being undefeated going next week in the week itself. So everybody's got work to do. You guys know me, always here first, and everybody. And we just got to figure out a way to be a better version of ourselves, certainly after today, but even when we were on our high of highs. It's just constant. We're just trying to do that, and we didn't do that tonight.
That is head coach Corey Mace. Find out if they have a glass jaw punched in the mouth.
They're going to find out. And as he said, he admitted the obvious, we're not going to go undefeated this year, he said. Yeah. So that's a bit of a pipe dream all the time, but they're the last of the undefeated teams. So,
but that's not going to make some, like Dallas and some others wanted Corey Mace to tear the paint off the walls, Belton. He didn't really do that. He wasn't calling like, heads are going to roll like Ryan Dinwiddie did a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Are you okay with his tone tonight?
I'm okay with his tone tonight. He knows his team. I think his players know him. I'm willing to bet that they bounce back. Did they play good? No. I couldn't tell you what the heck happened there, but I'm okay with the tone I see there. Now, me saying that, this happens in a string of games, then we need to be mm-hmm. all heads need to be rolling.
Yeah, one game is just a blip, right?
Yep.
Not everybody's going to win every game. We knew even with Belton, you said 13 wins. That still means they got to lose five times. Mm-hmm. So almost all teams lose during the season somewhere. So they're going to have to. And do they rebound from it? If it becomes perpetual, then he'll something will happen. Maybe not on the sidelines, and maybe not even in the press conferences, right? But mm-hmm. along Jamie and I have seen him at practice. All of a sudden, that's where he sends his messages, because he doesn't want to flip out on them during games,
yeah.
right? That shows that you lose your composure during games, and that probably spreads over to the players. So if you're going to get angry, do it at practice and get the message across when they're listening to you.
What do you think the fans are thinking, though, right? It looked like everybody's thinking, oh, this is how the Riders start every year for a while
True.
Now, right?
Yeah.
You know, get off to a hot start.
And then go ice cold.
Right? So that's what I'm like, is this ice cold moment
Uh-oh.
About to happen?
Seven-game winless streak? Is that coming?
No.
No, I don't think so.
No pattern there? Okay.
Well, there has been, but, you know, the team has changed over the years too, right? But last year, they also lost their quarterback last year. Although
that's
the way
true.
Trevor Harris played tonight, it's not magical the way he was playing tonight. Mm-hmm. So are they going to go on that skid? I don't think so, but I wouldn't have. Britton Gray last year thought that they're ready for a skid right about now, and this is what happened. Are they a better team this year than they were last year? Oh, yes, much better, and I don't think they're as vulnerable as they were last year.
As we continue here on the Green Zone post-game show, Belton Johnson's Beasts and Beefs coming up next. We'll also hear from the quarterback. We'll also hear from Joe Robustelli here on the Green Zone post-game show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone post-game show, 24-10, the final. The Riders are now 4-1. The Stampeders are now 4-1. A tie at the top of the West, but now that the Stampeders have the tiebreaker, they're technically first in the West Division. The Bombers also only have one loss. They're 3-1.
Calgary also has a tiebreaker against
Bombers. This is their second bye week already.
Yeah. Yeah, they had
the first week's bye.
Yeah.
See, that sucks.
That would suck.
No, Mike O'Shea said our schedule is perfect.
Oh, man.
That's right. He's like, right when you let anybody talk about the schedule negatively, everybody in the room thinks the schedule sucks. So it's perfect.
Okay.
It's great. We got the schedule we want.
That's a great way to look at things.
It's the greatest schedule ever made.
Although it's a CFL-made schedule, so
yeah, but
it
Mike,
does suck.
But Mike, suck. Two bye weeks in the first six weeks of the season. It's the greatest schedule I have ever seen in my life.
Was he that? He wasn't that.
No, he wasn't that, yeah, but no. he said it was a perfect schedule.
Yeah,
it's a perfect schedule.
Yep. And it was.
And then he says, you know why? Because it's our schedule.
Yep.
But Belton Johnson, let's get to Beasts and Beefs.
From chop blocks and dirty hits to big-time catches and fans in the stands.
That was a good old Southern spanking right there. Mm-hmm. I love every bit of it.
You never know what'll catch Belton's attention. It's Belton's Beasts and Beefs.
The good and the bad. The beast, the good, the beefs, the bad. Where are we starting tonight?
Start with the good.
Good news first, the beasts. Belton?
All right. First quarter there, who was it? A.J. Allen, right?
Yeah.
Interception.
Good, first play.
Good, right? Then, what was it? I don't know which D lineman hit Mills from behind, but it forced a fumble.
Shane Ray.
Was it Ray? Okay. And Revis recovered that fumble. You know, good start for the Riders.
Great start.
And then, did we see WorkSafe Bob? Is he back? Or?
Yeah, he was there.
So I had that. Man, That's work safe Bob. So
he's returned, yeah.
You like him, huh?
Well, some of the fans that were telling me about it, I was like,
saw more of him tonight than Gainer, I think, man. Anyways.
Second quarter there, C.J. Revis picked off Vernon Adams in the end zone there. That's all the beasts I got, but, you know.
Would you have a main beast?
Robustelli, man.
Oh, okay.
That's all I got. That's all they gave me, Jamie. Robustelli. He's the only guy that looked like he was out there playing today, man.
I've never vetoed Belton Johnson's beasts before.
Yeah. What do you got?
The fans who came back.
Hey. See, and I thought about that too, right?
That's my unsung hero, you guys. Jeez.
Oh, sorry.
And Robustelli is the offensive game warrior for the, you guys. Why am I here? You guys. You wonder that sometimes, anyway, right?
All right. Oh man, but that's all I got, Jamie.
Okay, what do we got for the beef?
Oh, beef. Here we go.
Oh, he got a few. Dude. Yeah. Oh. We got a minute. Okay, all right. Buckle up.
Settle in, Saskatchewan. We've got a list.
And the majority of this is in the second quarter. So start second quarter. Stampeders D, a guy here attacking the Riders at the point of attack, not seeing much push from the O-line. Then there was this nice deep ball by Vernon Adams to Alfred for a big gain there. But I couldn't tell who the DB was just with the colors. I think it must have been Brooks Jr.
Yes.
They both had the ball in the hand, but the receiver, Alfred, he came down with it. And I was just thinking, just knock the freaking ball away, man. Don't even try to go for the pick. And Alfred ended up catching it. They had a battle for it. Mitch Pickton, nice catch near the side there, but he fumbled the ball, right? It was a forced fumble. This is all in the second quarter. The Stamps, they forced a fumble on Trevor Harris, right? And then Vernon Adams to Brooks for that touchdown right before the freaking half. I couldn't believe that, man. Then I got here in the third quarter, Vernon Adams, you know, to Alfred there, that deep shot there, play of the game. That never should happen, Brooks. I don't know where. Did he get lost or something or schemed? I don't know. Where was he? Nobody. It was a touchdown.
It's never good when the DB turns around and has his palms in the air.
And I'd never seen nothing like that. Then third quarter, Riders go for it. It was third and three, and they didn't convert. I hate when, you know, it was on the end of the field there, but it's like if you go for it, like Trevor Harris, he just took off, tried to run, and I knew once he got out the pocket, I'm like, he's caught.
Why no Tommy Stevens? Isn't that why they got Tommy Stevens?
That's what I'm
ridiculous.
Something, man.
Ridiculous play calling on that one.
So my biggest beef, though, I don't know if y'all saw it or not, the football blitz machine.
Did it not work again?
Like, get the people something, because the Riders obviously wasn't giving the people nothing today. Like, and it did not work, Jamie. Then I think what people out there, they tried to fire the thing off.
They're just throwing
them in the stands, and you know, usually they're
the machine that they pump. Okay,
yeah,
the Gatling gun.
Yeah,
and
with his T-shirt.
And I was just like, man, this is a sign.
nothing was working today.
The aerial game was not in a.
Did they do the Prices Right game?
Yes, they did. Yeah. They did it pretty early there.
How many
points did
George Reed have?
Yeah, it was 800 and some points.
Yeah, 572 was the winning. Jamie Hood and Proud. The winners were like in the ballpark.
They were. Everybody. I couldn't even beef or beast. That was those are some logical thinkers over there.
All right, there's your beasts and your beefs here on the Green Zone post-game show. The fan line is open. We have more time for your calls. We'll also hear from Trevor Harris, Game Warriors. It's all ahead next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. We are back here on the Green Zone post-game show, 24-10, the final. The Calgary Stampeders on a postponed game. Go into Mosaic Stadium and send the home fans away disappointed. With the Riders' first loss of the season, Brian, what are you pondering on this Saturday evening?
Well, I've been watching all the games, of course. You guys know that, and listening to you guys every time. And just the defense is just, it's been, I've been talking to people saying they're bending, not breaking, so they're doing good. Now, today, they proved me 100% wrong, unfortunately. It was like non-existent. Listen to it on the radio. I was just frustrated all the heck today.
Wide open. There is a lot of room for those receivers, Bryant. Are you going to the game next week?
You bet. We got 33 of us in the section. I got a bus going over.
So they did the, was it the watermelon smash? They brought that in last year. What does that entail? Are there watermelon eating contests? Like what are people doing in BC before the game on Saturday?
That's what we're doing. I just both died doing the watermelon eating contest.
Did you almost win or no?
Well, it was all rigged for the Lions fans.
Oh. How did they rig it for the lion? Did you have to eat the rind and they didn't, or what?
No, like, they had people, so you had to eat your watermelon, throw it into a bucket, and they had people on their side catching the air and put it in the bucket to count it. And then I did the halftime show, too. And they did, a giant beer pong with beach balls, and they had other people over there doing the same thing, putting them in, and we were missing.
So, sounds like they're doing a good event, though. It sounds fun. Yeah,
it is. It was fun. Everybody gets along. So it's good times there. So looking forward to it. And we better pull up our socks and win that one.
Well, the defense will have to play better. Or Nathan Rourke will light them up too in BC. Bryant, thanks for the call. Enjoy next week's game wearing those Rider green colors at BC Place Stadium. Alex, your thoughts on a 24-10 loss today to the Stampeders?
Well, this is Justin. I'm talking to you. Right now?
No, Jamie, Daryl, and Belton. Sorry.
Okay. I don't know if it was Justin or Jamie. Anyway, I like all of you guys, and you guys do a fabulous job. But I just want to make one point. You can't get mad at people for being disappointed, okay? And here's why. Rider Nation showed up for their football team. They showed that I don't know any other CFL, what any team really in Canada, that would go through what they did last night. For 4 or 5 hours, and then show today, and honestly, it was decent, from my opinion. And, you know, I'm pissed off. Excuse my language. I'm sorry. I'm frustrated. You know, that was completely insulting to me. I mean, that kind of effort on the field and your fans show up for you a second time, that's all my point is. I'm not saying they have a bad team. They got a great team, and I think they're going to pick it up next week. We'll tap on wood, hopefully. But you guys just got to ease up on the people that are frustrated because...
Well, Alex, I'll cut you short. I'll cut you short because you didn't hear it out of my mouth. So whoever said it, I'm with you. Fans have every right to be frustrated. There's no doubt. Of course, you sit there 4.5 hours. Mm. You come back. You go in today. And the team, like if the team comes out to that crowd today... That should have jacked them up right there. Like, look at this group. They sat all night waiting for a game that didn't get played. Now they're out there with us, ready to go, and the team's not. If I'm a fan who bought tickets and came back, I'd be absolutely frustrated. You have every right to be frustrated with that effort from the Riders. They weren't sleeping in dorm rooms last night. The Calgary Stampeders were, but... Oh, boy, that Stamps team was ready to go with a game plan that was written up perfectly what they were anticipating and what they clearly got from the Saskatchewan.
Yeah, solid game plan both sides of the ball, offense and defense, are really strong. Yeah, and we've expressed the frustrations with the football team and the fans, too. Even last night, we understand that people are ticked off a little bit. It didn't go the way they wanted. Of course, it's not as serious as being up in northern Saskatchewan and dealing with the fires, but down here, you have to figure what's going on. The decision took a long time, so it was the right decision was made. But boy, you expect the Saskatchewan Roughriders to come out better today, and they were just horrible, weren't they, Bill?
They were, and I almost wanted to blame the weather. Maybe it got hot or something. And then I started thinking, oh, maybe they should have worn lighter colors.
Stamps were in the sun the whole game.
But they're wearing white, which is a little nicer in a hot day, right? Yeah.
But no, the Riders, they just plain suck today. It's, you know, we'll...
Belt to week. Ass is how Corey May said. You got a whooping as we get to the game, Warriors.
Holy
from big plays, big catches, and big hits. Now, Game Warriors.
Okay, Darrell Davis, for the first time in the regular season, we start with the opposition of the Saskatchewan Roughriders with Game Warriors, because we always start with the winning side. Who is the offensive Game Warrior for the Calgary Stampeders?
Yeah, offensive Game Warrior could, but, you know, I always hate to give it to the quarterback, because the quarterback's the outstanding player every game. So if they win, it's because of the quarterback all the time. So we could say, of course, it's Vernon Adams Jr., 428 yards passing and three touchdowns. But I'd like to give it to somebody else in that first round, first overall draft pick. You were talking about three of his catches. Two went for touchdowns, Belton. Mm-hmm. One was over top of Antoine Brooks Jr., the rookie corner, and one he took away. One of the receptions he took away was from Antoine Brooks Jr. So eight targets, six catches, 156 yards, and two touchdowns. So let's give it to Damien Alford. He was the main receiver in a very good offense conducted by Vernon Adams Jr. today.
And the offensive Game Warrior for the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Well, Jamie, who did you say was going to eat?
Joe Robustelli.
Yeah, he was one of the few players who really looked like he wanted to play today. It's his, what, third CFL start? He's back-to-back this year in one game last year. 11 receptions on 12 targets, 191 yards, and a touchdown. So pretty nice showing by Joe Robustelli, and I think he's proven his worth. He doesn't drop things. So a couple of those catches were tough because Trevor Harris wasn't on target today. I don't know. He completed 70% of his passes or something, and I think that's a tribute to a lot of his receivers. He was missing guys by turning the wrong way. He was 5 yards behind them
sometimes.
Yeah, short.
There was one where I think it was Dell Duncan Busby wide open across the middle, and wasn't close.
Yeah. So Joe Robustelli was there, made a couple of that one beautiful long along the sidelines was great.
And Robustelli, correct me if I'm wrong, he had a calf injury and still came.
He was clearly cramping. Cramped up. Yep. And he came back into the game. Where we go with defensive Game Warrior, Calgary Stampeders.
Well, who called? Chad called earlier, right?
Yep.
Who'd he say? Number 12.
Clarence Hicks.
Who's going to eat? Jamie said. No, you said the other guy.
Orr Malotti.
Two touchdowns or two tackles and two sacks for Hicks.
One of those sacks led to a forced fumble.
Yeah,
turnover.
Forced a fumble too. Yeah, so a pretty fine. Well, that whole defensive line was pretty strong. The way they shut down the running attack and were able to get to pressure Trevor Harris was pretty impressive.
And what do you have for the defensive Game Warrior for the Riders?
Well, let's go with C.J. Revis. Six tackles, an interception, and a fumble recovery for C.J. Revis.
There is C.J. Revis as the defensive Game Warrior for the Riders. Coming up next, we will hear from Trevor Harris. We'll also want to hear from Joe Robustelli and our unsung heroes as we wrap things up on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. This is the Green Zone postgame show. Another beautiful catch by Kenny Lawler of the Stampeders. 10-10 tie, or Stampeders. Tiger Cats, as it's a 10-10 tie in Hamilton with the Tiger Cats and the Ottawa Red Blacks. So Kenny Lawler's sixth touchdown reception already this season. But let's hear from Trevor Harris after the 24-10 loss.
You know, I don't think we had a first down, so the second quarter. And I think it's a different ball game. But, yeah, credit to them. They're a good defense. They're a good football team. But so are we, and we'll bounce back. And it's week five, game five from the season, and we'll be different teams by the time we see them again, and we're looking forward to seeing them again. But we've just got to continue making sure that we're becoming the team that we want to be as we progress through the season.
And just to follow up on that, when you think about Calgary's defense, you gave them credit, but what can you learn from just what they took away from you?
I think it's just us not getting into a rhythm early. And, you know, because second half, I think we moved the ball. I don't know that we had maybe one, two and out, but we moved the ball, you know, with great precision. And it's not like, the last drive, it was, you know, some yards after beat down, which probably shouldn't count. But it's, you know, but before that, they're playing defense and we're moving the football. And if we score on that last second to last drive, we're a punt and a touchdown away from tying it up, right? So it's not like we were out of it, and, you know, I'm going to just be one of those people that continue to believe regardless. But, Yeah, they did a good job. You got to give them credit, right? You know, they've done a great job shutting people down this season, and they did a good job keeping us off the board today. And we've just got to make sure that we come with more precision and better execution when we get in the red zone, and especially early. We can't just be two and out, two and out, two and out.
That is Trevor Harris with a great term, yards after beatdown, on his 400-yard passing performance.
So it was already decided when he was rolling up a few yards, so. That's a great term.
So he's like us. He's not giving much credit to a 400-yard passing game when you lose by 14 and you're out of it early.
Rightfully so.
And he pointed out the early two and outs that totally killed them, right? They could have had all that momentum, the fans behind them, a game coming back, a home game, two turnovers on the first two Calgary possessions, two and out both times. Well, they got a field goal on the first one, right? But
imagine if you scored it.
Yes.
Get a touchdown, right?
Or even wear it down. Take a couple of plays and get your offense going. Mm-hmm. Two and outs. What a tribute to the Calgary defense, right? We were talking about them. They've rebuilt it. It's a whole bunch of new players from other teams. 21 points allowed coming into this one, and they've improved on that by allowing only 10 against Saskatchewan today. Fine defensive performance by the Stampeders.
But right now, let's get to the unsung heroes.
They weren't the game warriors, but they definitely made an impact. Time to sing the praises of the game's unsung heroes.
Those guys who might have flown under the radar. Calgary Stampeders unsung hero, Darrell Davis.
Well, he hadn't before this game. He led the league in rushing touchdowns, but Dedrick Mills carried 14 times for 85 yards and certainly wore down that defense on the Rough Riders. The time of possession after the first half was 21 minutes to 9 minutes, and that had a lot to do with Dedrick Mills running. They ran him consistently through the night. You saw him on the side. He left the game for a couple minutes. He was sore. You saw him on the sidelines getting watered down. He did just getting cold water poured down his neck. It was hot over in that sunshine, but he didn't score a touchdown, but he had a lot to do with this victory. So to me, he's the unsung hero for the Calgary Stampeders.
And for the Riders.
Well, you look over their stats, Jamie, there isn't many. So I'm giving it to the fans who, especially the fans who were there last night, sat through how many hours? 4.5, 5.5, 6 hours for the entire contest. Then woke up and came back today, especially if you came from out of town. They're the unsung heroes to me. It's really impressive that they came back. There's a lot of volunteers, employees, everybody who came back today to help out. Give a lot of people credit. Sure, I'm cranky about how it happened and the decision took way too long to make last night, but the people who put up with it and came back, rather than let's give it to a player, let's give it to the people who made this game worthwhile today.
Absolutely. There's your unsung hero. It's you, Rider Nation, here on the Green Zone post-game show. But as we wrap up, we need to go through bold predictions. We didn't do very well.
Oh, man.
As Sheldon pointed out earlier, the Stampeder fan. Riders and Stampeders rushing, 9 carries, 16 yards for the Riders' rushing attack. Darrell was the lowest carries. Belton was the lowest yards. I don't want to admit what we said because it was so far off. We did say Kadeem Carey back. What will his carries be? He only had 1 carry. I was the lowest with 4. Wow. Calgary, 24 rushing yards, 134 yards, 24 carries for 134 yards. I was the highest for both, 21 carries for 110. Meanwhile, the defense of the Stampeders hasn't allowed a touchdown in the first 3 quarters. They did tonight. Joe Robustelli, with early in the third quarter, it was a catch of 18 yards. You said it'd be a catch. You said it was 25 yards.
Yeah. Mm.
So you get that one. You get the point for the time in which it was scored. You said midway through the second quarter was early in the third. Beryl and I both had first quarter. And with Mario Alford's injury, he only had 25 and 31 for punts and kicks returns. No missed field goal return yards, so Belton and I get a point there. And total yards.
Who got the punt return? Oh.
You got punt return yards. You were the lowest. I got kick return yards. I was the lowest. And I had the lowest total yards returning for Mario Alford. So I got 6 points tonight. Darrell got 4. Belton got 3. The bold prediction standings. Darrell's at 41. I'm at 35. Belton is at 25.
And we were all wrong picking the winners, so our scores don't stand. We all picked the Riders.
We all picked.
Back to the jinx, the I guess. When we all pick the Riders, they lose. Didn't that happen?
Not this is the first time this year. Yeah. We picked all the Riders a lot this year, and they won. So not working out this time around.
We'll get blamed anyway.
Well, that's two shows in one for this delayed game that now everybody's regretting actually got played. 24-10, the Calgary Stampeders beat the Saskatchewan Roughriders, of course. The Green Zone will be on at 2 o'clock on Monday with a lot more. Belton Johnson, of course, joining us. Daryl Davis will join us on Wednesday afternoon, as always. Our next game day, next Saturday, 5 o'clock kickoff against the BC Lions. So our Green Zone pregame show a week from today, 3 o'clock. And they're in a dome, so it should go ahead as scheduled. Have a great rest of your weekend, everybody, and enjoy. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.